Louise Bedford here. As you know, in this module of the Mentor Program, we're discussing the role of a trader. Now, Marcotte Vosey was kind enough to share with us some of his thoughts about what it takes to be a successful trader, and I've actually got Alan Hull on the line. Now, Alan Hull is a successful trader in his own right, as well as being the author of Active Investing, the revised edition. He started trading in the early 90s as a technical trader, and he also puts out a couple of reports called ActVest and the Blue Chip Report, which are basically advisory newsletters. Can you tell me a little bit about your background and why you're a trader?
Okay. Well, it's a bit strange. I actually come from a science engineering background, very deterministic, which is a bit odd for a trader because we deal with probability. I was first introduced to shares at the ripe old age of eight. My father bought me a $5 share, which I actually chose out of the list of shares in the then Sun Herald, I think it was.
Oh, yes.
And it doubled 6 months.
Oh.
A $5 share went to $10. I couldn't believe my luck. And that was the first, I think the key thing that came out of that, there's two things that came out of that whole experience. The first one was that I made money for nothing.
Yes.
I didn't have to do any work. So I got that at a very, very early age, sort of, you know, and I had a very good Christmas that year, so with $10 in my pocket at the ripe old age of eight. But the following year, he said, I'll buy you another $5 share. And this time I said, look, I don't know a lot about it, Dad, and last time was sort of luck. Can you pick me out a share? So he chose a share, and it halved over the next 6 months. Right? So I copped the other side of the coin. And I said to Dad, well, that, you know, the wheels fell off that little exercise. Can I have my money back, please, my $5? And he said, no, you can't. And I said, but hang on, you chose the share, not me. And he said, well, listen, son, if you don't want advice, I suggest you find out about shares for yourself. So took him at his word, and I think that's why I'm where I am today.
Oh, that's superb. Yeah. Bit of tough love.
So it was tough love. And, I mean, it was a good thing because that's absolutely right. When you seek advice, you don't pass off responsibility. The responsibility is with you. And, yeah, I did find out about shares, and I guess I've been hooked on the stock market and shares ever since. But also, as I say, went through a science engineering background in terms of my career. Very deterministic. You know, you do A, B, C, and you come up with X, Y, Z. Now, the share market, of course, and trading in general isn't like that. It's, you know, we deal with probability. And the stock market, to me, is this never-solvable puzzle. It's always changing. It's always evolving. So one minute I'm sort of in step with it, and it's all going, you know, swimmingly, and the next minute it changes direction, and you've got to, you know, stop and solve the puzzle again. And that's just, yeah, it just keeps me sucked in.
I agree with you completely. Actually, I caught up with some traders the other day for a cup of coffee, and I was saying, oh, and this system was working really well until it stopped.
Yeah, and I think right now in the current state of the market, you know, we're going through the sort of 07, 08, 09 corrections as dragged out to now. That very much, the techniques and the tactics we were using over the past sort of couple of bull runs, they're not working in the current environment, and they're probably not going to work that well going forward. So, you know, you've got to reinvent yourself. And that's a good thing. That's the challenge, I think.
And in relation to your own personal trading, Alan, what routines do you follow on a daily and a weekly basis?
Fairly regimented. I jump out of bed at about 6 o'clock, 6.30 every morning to get the kids off to school. Step one is I race straight in and I turn my computer on, which is probably a bad thing. I shouldn't be that upset.
I do that too.
But you do that too. Yeah, okay, wake up. Just got to check the US market. I mean, you know, look, the US sneezes and we catch cold. What sort of emphasis do I place on that? Probably nowhere near as much as what I place on the weekly picture or the monthly picture. Weekly picture, very important to me. This is my chosen time frame. I'm a medium to long-term blue chip share trader, is my bread and butter trading. So what's happening on a weekly basis is very important. Now, this is key for me. I do my analysis first thing Monday morning. So I get the Friday night's close of the market. I haven't seen or heard any information. I've got nothing going around my brain. I'm away from the noise. There's been no new information for 48 hours. Okay? So my mind is clear. Sit down Monday morning, lock myself away in a room with a computer and just analyse the market before I pick up any of that noise again and start reading news and looking on the internet and, you know, seeing what the market's doing for the morning.
That's a really good point,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we can have our mindset so interfered with by external sources.
It is. I mean, there's so much noise and it's a problem. It's a problem for a trained, you know, experienced trader. So how does the newbie deal with it?
Exactly.
How does the newcomer to the market deal with it? I mean, they must absolutely be swamped by that noise. secondly, as much as I might like to think I'm objective, and I think the more you trade, this is one of the things that comes with experience, you become less emotional as the market kills you by the thousand cuts.
Yes.
You know, you become less emotional and less attached to particular stocks and instruments, and you become very objective. But even so, biases creep in. So to do it first, do the analysis first thing Monday morning, you're getting as far away from that noise as you can. My mind is as clear as it can be first thing Monday morning. I don't check emails, I don't do anything. I actually have a separate room in the house where I do this analysis. I spend 2 to 3, 4 hours, half a day if I have to. I go through all the major global indexes, US market, Asian market, European market. Right now I go through, once again, the commodities. I go through the base metals, I go through the precious metals, I look at currency. I have to say, by the way, this is always in a state of flux. This is not something I've done for the last 15 years. If you go back to 1999, 2000, of course, we all got up first thing in the morning and we looked at the NASDAQ. That was the centre of the universe. So it's very much, you know, as the market evolves, this process and this routine has to evolve with it. So whereas right now I'm looking at aluminium, I'm looking at tin, I'm looking at copper, I'm looking at nickel and zinc and all of these, I'll probably dial that right back in the future and I'll just look at copper as a leading indicator of what's going on in the commodity market.
And it does have to be a flexible process.
Absolutely, absolutely. You've got to, the market's evolved, you've got to evolve. And therefore, so okay, on that weekly basis, that's very important. I'm sitting there, so come out of that room, Monday, you know, midday if you like, and I've got this mindset of what I think the market's, where it's been, what it's done, and what I think it's going to do. Overall, I have to answer one key question, and this is so, I absolutely stress this when I'm dealing with students myself, up, down, or sideways?
Mm.
That's a simple question. You've got to be able to answer it. Up, down, sideways. Now, I had a student once said, Alan, I don't know. I've been through that process, I've done everything you've said, and the answer is, I don't know. And I said, well, that's fine too, because if in doubt, stay out.
Exactly.
All right, so even if you look at the market, and you're getting, you know, not getting a clear picture, a clear signal, then the answer is stay out. So that is an acceptable answer too, but you've got to look, you've got to ask that question, and you've got to be able to answer that simple question. After I've done that, weekly basis, I personally eyeball every single ASX 200 index constituent share.
I didn't realise you did that. This is such an important routine as well. I think it gives you a real flavour for where we're at, and you do start to develop an unconscious competence.
You do, and I think it sinks into the subconscious. It's practice, practice, practice. You can read and you can study all the theory and get all the knowledge about trading and all the different ideas and all, you know, be up to speed with all the different techniques and tactics. Now, they all work, and they all don't work, okay? But you've got to work out where you fit in. I'm competent with a wide range of trading tactics because of practice, practice, practice. And it's like being a carpenter. You can't learn to be a carpenter in trade school. You learn by being on a building site and swinging a hammer.
That's right. Okay. You've got to be in the arena.
Absolutely. Nextly, you didn't ask me about this, end of month. When I get the weekly, the end of week signals, but when it's actually the end of the month, I take extra care. I take extra care because those signals, to me, you know, also play higher significance than just week by week even. I very much look at big picture stuff. When I'm looking at the index charts at the moment, we're in a major transitional market, so I'm looking at monthly charts.
Sure.
I look at weekly, but I also look at monthly because, you know, I think we're seeing the correction of what was a 25-year bull market phase. And, you know, this is big picture stuff. And you've got to really step back. And I mean, I can't use the ASX 200 for this sort of analysis because it only goes back to, about 10 years or so. I actually have to look at the All Ords because I'm really wanting to see what's gone on over the last 25 odd years. I believe that one of the keys is you must look at the big picture and work your way down. I get very concerned when I know I've fallen foul of this myself and, you know, in previous years of trading. Looking at the short-term picture and having just about no idea what's going on long-term.
I think you're so right. There's so much clarity to be derived from just taking a step back, and instead of going from an intraday 5-minute tick chart to actually stepping back and looking at a weekly chart.
Absolutely.
So when you have downtimes, I mean, every trader does, when either you aren't receiving signals from your system or when you're fully invested, what do you tend to do with your time then?
Oh, well, you know this one, Lou. I write books, you know, I run seminars, those sorts of things, traders clubs, you know. Look, you have to distract yourself. Trading is, you know, when people say full-time trader, I've always struggled with this because it's not a full-time occupation.
That's it.
I'm lazy. I'm incredibly lazy, Lou. I don't want to work, and therefore that's what attracts me to trading, because you know, it's not something that occupies your time 24/7. You know, there is a real danger that you're going to overtrade, and you have to distract yourself, and you have to find, like for me, that's one of the great things about being an author and writing books about share trading, teaching others and still learning myself. And by teaching other people, it makes me a better trader.
I find that as well. After every book that I've written, I've become so much more succinct and concise with my trading, and it has really pushed me on to the next level. So I completely hear where you're coming from there.
Yeah.
Given that both of us have this boredom threshold issue, because I think that that's quite common between the two of us, how do you avoid tinkering with your trading system out of boredom?
There's two aspects to this. There's tinkering and there's the regular trading review. So I know what you mean, tinkering. I love to tinker.
Mm.
I'm a fiddler. And I can be a tweaker too. And I think the tweak is the dangerous bit, not the tinkering. I think you've got your trading system, you've got your strategy, you've got your routines, all that sort of stuff. That's fine. That's what you do day to day. Tinkering is what you do in terms of when you're just... And I think you should just sit and look and study the market. Nothing to do with your day-to-day trading, nothing to do with the practical side of actually executing trades and stuff, but you should sit there and contemplate the market and contemplate charts and read information, and this is where we come up with new ideas, new strategies, new insights into the market. That's the tinkering, okay? Don't let that bleed over into what I call tweaking, and that's where you go and you start adjusting and changing and altering your trading system, all right? That's very dangerous. I have a trading system. I follow it to the letter. I review it every 6 to 12 months.
So do I.
So I sit down, I go through the results, and I go, am I happy? Yes, no. Because if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Mm.
All right? Am I happy with the results? Yes, I am. So I move on. No, I'm not. So I sit down, and I review it, and I look at where I can improve it. Now, that's the review. The tweaking, that you know, the tinkering becomes the tweaking. The problem is, if I adjust my trading system and I alter the parameters and I alter the strategy on the run, then when I sit down to do the review, the data I've gained over the last, the data I've built and generated over the last 6 months is invalid because I've tweaked it. You know what I mean?
You haven't built up enough of a track record to be able to look back.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. I get a lot of people come to me and say, look, I'm not succeeding, I'm doing things wrong. And I'll say to them, can I see the last 6 months' results? Where are your trading rules and where are the outcomes? They can't do it because they say, I've adjusted this, I was using this sort of stop loss. No, I went to a drawdown stop loss. Then I changed to a moving average stop loss, et cetera, et cetera. You can't keep jumping around, then the review process isn't going to work.
I think one of the goals of every trader, whether you're a complete novice or incredibly professional, is to maintain consistency.
Absolutely. And how do you apply discipline if you've got a rubbery framework?
Self-awareness is definitely a goal as well. Look, thank you so much for your time, Alan. It's so easy to see why you've been so successful at trading as well as in your business. I'm sure all of the new mentorees really appreciate the time that you've taken here to share with them. We wish you all the best for good trading and for the future.
Thank you, Lou.